Amen. All right. It's been encouraging this morning just to listen to the testimonies. And if you thought about everything that people were sharing, this thing's really ringing. Everything that people were sharing is about prayer. I mean, I think that's so exciting. Just going through the whole thing on Jim Cimbala has been a challenge for my life. And I think it's been a challenge for everybody. It's just listening to the people talking about prayer. And this morning, the thing that God laid on my heart to share this morning is also about prayer. And I would invite you to turn to Luke chapter 10. And we want to look at some things here. First of all, the story is about Martha and Mary, and some of you are very familiar with that. First of all, I was going to read this before I even go to there. I got an email, and I often delete most emails like this before I even open them. But this one here just really, really jumped out. Anyway, it's called Terrorist Groups Operating in Churches. And it says, could you be one of them? Latest news reports are that 5 terrorist cell groups have been operating in many of our churches. They have been identified as been sleeping, been arguing, been fighting, been complaining, and been missing. And their leader is Osama bin Lucifer. Osama bin Lucifer trained these groups to destroy the body of Christ. The plan is to come into the church disguised as Christians and do work within the church to discourage, disrupt, and destroy. However, there have also been reports of a 6th group, a tiny cell known by the name Bin Praying. So actually, the only effective counterterrorism force in the church, unlike other terrorist cells, the Bin Praying team does not blend in with whoever and whatever comes along. Bin Praying does whatever is needed to uplift and encourage the body of Christ. We have noticed that the Bin Praying cell group has different characteristics than the others. They have been watching, been waiting, been fasting, and been longing for their master, Jesus Christ, to return. Anyway, which cell group do you belong to? I just thought it was pretty interesting. The title I gave with all the terror stuff that's going on. Anyhow, that has really nothing to do with at all what we want to talk about this morning, but I just thought that was interesting. All to do with prayer. Been praying. Anyway, I want to read the passage in Luke 10, starting at verse 38. And it says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Then Jesus replied, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Now, you could exhaust this passage of script. You could exhaust what Jesus said here probably through many, many messages. You could just totally tear it apart. I mean, just, yeah, build on it, actually. But my point is this morning is a home without Christ, first of all. I want to think of the busyness as we get in our busy lives. How many times are we like Martha, where we get so busy, and we just heard it here with what Ruth was saying, you know, we don't have time. Time to pray, time to talk, time to share. We get so busy, we don't even have time to talk to our Lord and Redeemer, Jesus Christ. And, you know, there is nothing beautiful about a home that is not connected to Jesus. There is nothing beautiful, nothing at all. It is the most desolate, desperate home I believe you can find. Dreary, miserable, just total chaos in a home that is not connected with Jesus Christ. A home that does not have Christ in the center. And I wonder, you know, there is a lot of homes, I believe, that start out with Christ in the center. Literally, start out. And after a while, there's so many things get involved. I mean, whether it's from work to just, I mean, you could even church. You can get so busy and doing so many things, after a while, it's all you. And you're the only one responsible. You're the only one doing anything. And Jesus is somewhere on the shelf. He's completely gone. It just walk. And you know what? That's my prayer for this church right here, is that we put Christ. You know, I hear a lot of reports of we need revival. We need life in the church. And I just want to share this morning that life starts in each individual heart and each individual home. Life doesn't start here at Shiloh. Life does not start right here. It doesn't start with me up here preaching. It doesn't start with anything right here. It all starts in your individual hearts as you seek Christ. As you seek Christ and in your homes. Bring Christ to the center of your home. Bring him in. Are your children involved with prayer, you know, prayer times in the home? For a home to be what God intends, the presence of Christ must be there. And I just think sometimes through all the busyness and through all the chaos and just through all, and I think Satan just loves it. He just loves to see us so busy in so many things and not taking time to stop and pray. One of the things I think of is, you know, I hear a lot of stuff about your children, just talking about children. A lot of times we think of our children, they need to go to vacation Bible school and they need to go to Sunday school and they need to go to here and there and there. And you know what? Because that's where they're going to learn about Jesus. And I want to tell you that is not true. Absolutely not true. Folks, we need to train our children at home first. This is only a bonus. If you have vacation Bible school or Sunday school, services like that, this is a bonus. This is not where they learn about Jesus. I mean, now there is some children, don't get me wrong. I mean, what Lighthouse is doing, bringing children in, they are learning about Jesus there because obviously they're not learning it in the home. But here, as a church body, we need to teach them in the home. They need to be learning about that in the home first. I'm not responsible to try and bring your children up in the admonition of the Lord. I want to help. But as we're teaching them in Christ at home, bring them to the church, and you know what? You will see this church come alive. I mean, I've heard some stuff, you know, about the way we need life, and I just want to encourage every one of us that's sitting here this morning that as we have Christ in the center of our home, so we will have life here at Shiloh. We will have life. That thing will come, that life will come. And, you know, don't be deceived, because I think there's many homes that, you know, there's many homes that started out with Christ in the center, and then eventually they've just gotten so busy, like I said, they've gone away. But there is church families. I believe there are homes, if you walk inside, homes that are of people that are in churches, even this morning, that if you would be involved in their home throughout the week, it is as ungodly and as miserable as an out-and-out sinner. And that, to me, is a shame. I mean, it really is. It's a shame. It's a shame simply because Christ is not in the center and we are doing church just to do church instead of being a celebration and a time of worship, time of coming together to know God, first of all in your home. Even between, you know, and that's something else that I keep thinking about. I remember when Karen and I first went for marriage counseling. Oh, I don't know how many years ago it was. But I remember that counselor challenged us. I mean, I wasn't even a Christian then. But when I did become a Christian, we started talking to him about just about life. I wanted to know what love was. I wanted to know what it meant to be a Christian. I wanted to know. I had so many questions that I wanted to know. And the one thing he asked me, he says, "Do you ever pray with your wife?" I said, "No." You know, no, that would be scary. I mean, I wouldn't want her to know what I'm thinking, you know. And it's like, no. He said, "If you're not going to pray with your wife," he said, "you may as well just forget it right now." He said, "because you're not going to pray in your home then. You are not going to have prayer in your home." And I was like, wow. And, you know, that I marvel at times when I find out that people do not pray together, that husbands and wives do not pray together. Christ is not in the center. We've become so busy. And my whole point of this is, listen, in verse 39, here Martha had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Do we have time in our homes to sit and just listen? Just to sit and listen to what God's saying. And Gary had our Sunday school lesson this morning, and as he shared about praying in the Spirit and just, you know, walk, and they were doing a prayer walk anyway. I just think that's so neat because you're just waiting on God. Just waiting on God. But you need to have time to do that, or you are not going to hear from God. You are not going to hear except you take time. Take time to sit and at the feet of Jesus. And you know, this morning that's something we want to do. We want to take some time for prayer this morning. But there's three things I want to talk about. I believe these are the areas or the fruits of a Christian home. There's three things that I wrote down here that I think are very, very the fruits of a Christian home that you can obviously see that there's life in the home. The family will, first of all, they will honor the church. It's a bride of Christ. It's Christ's bride, the church. They will honor the church. Then they will also honor the Word of God. And then they will also give due place to prayer. They will give due place to prayer. Them three things are the fruits, I believe, of a Christian home. If you would have Christ in the center of your home as you just throughout the week. You know, I think of a time, and I'll just share that. I've probably shared this before, but, you know, there's times we'll sit down as a family and just have a family altar. And it's amazing what the children come up with that, you know, they want to pray about or they want to confess or they want to just share. I mean, it's just amazing. And just to ask your children, do they have a pure heart before God? Your child does not have to be very old until they're going to know that if they have a pure heart before an almighty God. It don't take a rocket science to figure it out. They don't have to be very old at all until they know that they are a pure heart before God, that they have a pure heart, and they need something that they got to confess, or there's something they need to, yeah. And maybe they need encouragement. Maybe they need whatever it is. It don't take but long at all for them to come to that acknowledgement, to recognize that God is holy. And, you know, He asks us to be holy also. He asks us to be holy. And we have an avenue. We can go to Jesus Christ at any time. You know, He shed His blood for each and every one of us. And we can be free. We have a place to go. Now, the unsaved, as we were talking earlier about the prayer, an unsaved person doesn't even have prayer. I mean, his prayers are unanswered, unheard. There's nothing there. It's void of understanding, void of opportunity, void of everything, except they be saved. And then through that, God hears our prayers. God does hear our prayers. Now, I just want to clarify in this message here. Then in verse 40, he says, but Martha was distracted. Now, that's that word distracted, I think, really, really, really tells us where many of our families are at. We're distracted. And I'll be the first one to say, I get distracted. I get very distracted. I can get so caught up in work that nothing else matters. Nothing. If I get busy, nothing else will matter except work and to get it done. Goal-driven. And we become so distracted, we no longer have time for God. No longer do we have time for God. And that's just amazing how quickly we can do that. You know, I was challenged the other night. Andy had we had a youth prayer meeting here Thursday night, and he's going to continue to do that throughout till the youth rally, and hopefully even beyond. But anyway, we'll see, to get the youth to pray for that. But Andy just challenged us to take 15 minutes and just go and pray for yourself. Make sure that your heart is pure before God. Just come before the Lord yourself. And I'm like, how many times do we do that in the home? And I told Andy that night, I said, you know, I don't even do that at the house. Take 15 minutes, and we're just going to, and all I'm going to do is just come before the Lord. And it's like, I do, but not every day. And it's like, man, that's a challenge. Every day, if we would just take 15 minutes and just come before the Lord and know that our heart is connected and that we are pure. You know, the miseries that go on in families would disappear. It would. It really would. If we would seek God with all our heart, soul, and mind, even just 15 minutes a day. Just take that time to really make sure that your heart is in tune with God. Nothing around you. Not that you're trying to make friends over here, you're trying to make friends over there, you're trying to be accepted here or there. Just that your heart's in tune with God. What a beautiful picture. And the blessings that will come out of that from your families, even your children. Your children are going to know that you have a peace within. Because when your heart's not in tune with God, you're not going to have peace. And you know what? It's going to reflect onto your children. Your children are going to know it. Your children are going to know if you're not at peace with God. They will pick that up very quickly because they will not be at peace then either. So you as parents, we as parents really need to know that our hearts are in tune with God and not to become that busy that we don't have time to do that. So this morning, I think what I'd really like to do here is just take time, and I'm going to give 10 minutes, and we're just going to take time, each one of us, just bow your heads right where you're at. You know, you can kneel, you can do whatever. But I would like us to take 10 minutes, for sure, of prayer. And just pray for yourselves. Pray for your individual self. Pray for your own heart. Allow your heart to be connected. And if you have to just be quiet, that's okay. You can pray out loud, you can be quiet. But just know that your heart is connecting, that your spirit is connecting with God's spirit. I long to see that we would just be connected, every one of us, to God through the Spirit. Because it's only in the Spirit we can connect, and it's only through prayer we can connect. So if we could, for the next 10 minutes, let's just seize everything, and we're just going to pray. I'm not going to lead anything. We're all just going to pray ourselves and just call out on God. If there's something you need to confess, go ahead and confess it. If there's something you need to make right, go ahead and make it right. It's okay. The altar's open if you want to do that, but you can just stay at your seat. Let's pray. And I want you to picture yourself. Just picture yourself at the foot of the cross. And I want you to picture Jesus hanging on the cross. He's beaten to a bloody pulp. His hands and his feet. And the blood is just flowing down. I want you to picture you a sinner, grumbly, miserable, filthy, whatever it may be. Whatever may be going on in our lives, just that you can come there and kneeling down at the foot of the cross and cry out to God through Jesus. And I want you to be assured of one drop of blood from Jesus will cleanse you of all unrighteousness, everything. And he just says, I love you. I love you, Jesus. Come to you and thank you for your love. Thank you, God, for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross. And God, as we come down and we worship you through your son Jesus, God, may we see all of our life ahead of us through the cross. That we would have Jesus first in our hearts and then also in our families. God, we bless you. We honor you. We thank you for what you've done. Would you just send your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to light upon us like a dove? Would you fill each one this morning? God, would you fill each one with a renewed and a rekindled desire to serve you, a fresh cleansing from you, and God, that we can walk away, that we can leave here this morning filled with your joy, filled with love, filled with compassion for each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I was here. And if God has spoken to anyone, I mean, just in the time of quietness, that's beautiful. That's beautiful to hear. It's beautiful to hear quietness. If you can hear quietness, it really is. I remember that sermon Elvin had on, Can You Hear Me Now? And all the noise and the stuff that's going on. I think of our world around us is so full of noise. That to hear them moments of quietness is just beautiful. In closing, if God reveals someone to you here this morning, just thinking of everyone that's here this morning, that we could speak life into someone this morning, I want to encourage you just to take time to just stop. And I don't mean flatter someone. I just mean if God has laid someone on your heart this morning, just to share life. I'm going to give opportunity to do that this morning. And then I got a passage of scripture I'd like to read that I want to close with on that. But just if God lays someone on your heart through the quiet time of prayer, I know God moves. I know the Spirit moves among us. And if someone has a word of encouragement for someone, you're here, and I'm not sure how this will share with some, but I'm going to make a couple comments on it, and then I'm going to close in prayer. And I just thank you for that. And just remember, people, to spread words of encouragement. I mean, it's so easy to tear someone down. It's so easy to speak negatively. It's our flesh. It's so easy to come against things. But just to speak words of life. John, you can turn with me here if you want. John 21, chapter 21, verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? By this time, Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. And then he told Peter something that is pretty powerful. He said, I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. And verse 19 says, Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Now, if Jesus would come to any one of us and tell us that exact same thing, how many of us would feel so awful and turn away? I wonder how many times we get so sensitive to that we would just turn away. And I'm just putting this out as a challenge, and I'll share this in a minute. Verse 20, Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. And then this was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who is going to betray you? Okay, that was the one that he was talking about. When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? And Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. You must follow me. And my challenge this morning is, as we look around and I think of, you know, how easy it is to criticize and condemn and tear down, God has called every one of us to be someone different. We're not all the same. God has a gifting for every one of us. And what he has called Jay and Gina to is not what he's called you to. It's not what he's called you to. What he's called Andy to is not what he's called the rest of us to. But we tend to compare ourselves amongst each other and we start to make enemies by comparing ourselves amongst each other. And I just challenge you that what God has called you to, follow him. Follow him. Don't be looking around thinking that you got to be like someone else or someone else might have it better than you. Maybe someone else has it easier or whatever it may be. But if Jesus would come and tell you that you're going to be crucified and it's to bring honor and glory to God, I challenge you to walk in it. Walk in it, whatever it is. Whatever God has for you, walk in it. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you and thank you so much for the time this morning. God, as we just open our hearts to you, and God, as you give us the strength to carry out what you call each one of us to, I pray for strength, wisdom, and courage that only comes from above. Not just for myself, but for everyone here at Shiloh. God, would you encourage everyone to walk in truth, to walk in love, and to share encouragement everywhere they go. Would you bless each one this day in Jesus' name? Amen. You all are dismissed.